The book of Acts, chapter 22. And last time we looked at the first three verses. Let's just go back and look at those verses again and continue on as far as we can get in this chapter. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 22, verse 1. Men, brethren, this is Paul talking. He is speaking to a pack of vicious Jewish people who want him dead because he preaches Jesus. He's in the city of Jerusalem, and he says, men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And there is nothing wrong with a Christian who defends himself, especially if our character is called into question. And that's what Paul is going to do. And it says in verse 2, and when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, they were the more silent. So they're going to at least begin to give him a fair hearing. And he said, verse 3, I am verily a man who am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of our fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye are all this day. And so, again, we see that Paul is telling this mob that he knows exactly how they feel because he used to feel the same way that they do. He was wrong. And so are they. But he wants them to know that he made the same mistake that they are making presently. Verse 4, and I persecuted this way, and this way refers to Christianity. I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Before he was the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus hated Christians as much as any Jew possibly could. I mean, he led the charge against them like no one else. Verse 5. As also the high priest both bare me witness and all the council of the elders. From them I also received letters unto the brethren. And I went to Damascus to bring those who were there bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. So these Jews wouldn't have to take Paul's word for it. What a ravenous wolf he was against the Christians in his past. And they don't have to take his word for it. It was common knowledge that he wanted Christians dead and the memory of Jesus wiped out. And he was willing to go to extremes to make that happen. Verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and had come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And that light was Jesus. 7. And I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul was probably thinking, I'm not persecuting an invisible person. What is going on here? I'm not persecuting a bright light. The only ones I'm persecuting are Christians. So I don't understand this at all. And he didn't, not at first. 8. And I answered, who art thou, Lord? Who in the world am I persecuting? Who art thou, Lord? And much to Paul's surprise, he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. You know, when Christians are persecuted, it is a direct attack on the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul did it, it was an attack on Jesus. When Muslims behead Christians today, they are swinging their axes at Jesus, and it is a very foolish thing to swing a sharp axe at the Creator. 9. And those who were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. The others didn't hear the voice of Jesus because the message was for Saul alone. He was spearheading the persecution against Christ, and so Jesus wanted to talk to him personally. 10. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told of thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. I don't think Paul ever knowingly rebelled against the truth. I really don't. He persecuted Christians because he thought it was the correct thing to do. But when he discovered that Jesus was the Lord, he immediately submitted to Christ and asked, What do you want me to do, Lord? He would go with truth as best he could. He was sincere. He was sincerely wrong for a long time, but he was sincere. 11. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Paul needed help to get to Damascus, which is where Jesus told him to go. He needed help because Christ blinded him. 12. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, of good report among all the Jews who dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And that same hour I looked up upon him. By order of Jesus Christ, Ananias miraculously restored Saul's sight, which must have been a major relief because Saul had no guarantee that he would ever see again, or for that matter, live. Verse 14. And he said, Ananias said this to Saul, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou should know his will, and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. In other words, the God of the Old Testament, the God and Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is on the same side as the Lord Jesus Christ who appeared to you. And you talk about revelation? This was revelation. 15. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Notice Jesus did not ask Saul what, if anything, he wanted to do for him. Saul didn't volunteer for anything. Jesus said, This is what you're going to do. You're going to talk about me. You're going to tell the whole world, everyone you see, what you have experienced with the Son of God. 16. And now why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And what a thrill that must have been. What a relief to hear that coming from Jesus. I mean, this is what Saul was looking for, forgiveness. He knew he was in trouble with God. He knew he had been fighting against the Lord, but now, with his sight restored and his sins washed away, he was ready to go. He was ready to go forward with Jesus. He was willing to step on it and go full blast all the way, and he would never forget the mercy that he experienced here. Verse 17. And it came to pass that when I had come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him, saw Jesus, saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So Jesus went from somebody who knocked Paul off his feet, blinded him, scared him half to death, to somebody who is now protecting him. And we see that Jesus appeared to Saul again, and this time he told him to leave Jerusalem because people would not believe that he was truly a Christian, nor would the Jews believe his message about Jesus Christ. So he'd get it from both ends. He wouldn't be accepted by Christians, and he certainly wouldn't be accepted by the Jews. You know, being the great Jewish zealot and being the highly educated Saul of Tarsus wouldn't carry any weight with the Jews who rejected the Holy Scripture and Jesus. 19. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue those who believed in thee. In other words, Lord, I think you've got it wrong. They're probably impressed by my extreme turnaround. Verse 20. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of those who slew him. I think the Jews will believe my conversion was real, and I think they will also believe that Jesus is real. After all, I used to kill Christians because of their faith. What other explanation of a turnaround could there be? Well, here's the deal. Jesus knows better. And a miraculous turnaround by Saul would strengthen the faith of Christians, but it will not impress the unsaved if the unsaved are not willing to accept the testimony of Scripture concerning Jesus Christ. Verse 21. And he said unto me, and Jesus is going to give him the straight scoop, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Jesus isn't going to sit and debate this thing with him. He just restated his command. Get out of here. And by the way, Paul did not decide where he was going to minister, did he? Jesus decided that for him. And, you know, Paul perhaps felt that he could be effective among the Jews that he had so much in common with. I mean, especially since at one point he was just like them, as far as persecuting Christians, hating Jesus, probably felt that, boy, he could really identify with them and get a foot in the door with them, perhaps, and tell them about Jesus. But no matter what he felt, he was going to the Gentiles. He was going to the heathen, to the farthest reaches of the Roman Empire with the gospel of Jesus Christ.